Manny Frangidakis, 12 points, Wealth Management, Stamati Sastra. We talk about the market's performance over the past week. I'm here with Costa as well. So, gentlemen, Kalimera from our studio.
Kalimera, sis.
Kalimera.
Kalimera, Kalimera, Manny. How are you?
Kalimera, Manoli.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Δυστυχώς, δυστυχώς το football team έχασε το Brian.
Yeah.
Δυστυχώς. Και το μπάσκετ, και το basketball, yeah.
Actually, football had a huge win last Saturday. They crushed the opponent, but this football team looks actually pretty good. Basketball still has a ways to go. It's the beginning of the season.
Yeah. But anyway, because
but you
my
are playing well too.
Yeah, they won. Yeah, actually, my second team is Brian. Yes, you know, I mean, for obvious reasons, my wife is a graduate, and my daughter also. So.
Manny, before we get on track, you and I have to go to a Bryant basketball game this season. So our next, let's. I want to go to a game.
I'd love to. We've got plenty of opportunities, and they just started serving beer, I believe, this year. Yeah.
Oh my God, you guys getting really liberal.
No, let's do.
In Rhode Island, they don't do that.
Do we know any other Greeks that went to Bryant? Let's bang heads and get
it. Let's do a Greek Heritage Night.
Greek Heritage. Greek Bryant College University Alumni Heritage Night. Yeah. Anyway, let's get on
Absolutely.
With the week. Let's get on with the topic of conversation, the market
okay,
this week.
Okay, let me. I want to. I'm very interested to get the insight and the knowledge from Manny, as he always does. Just today's news, you see very kind of two different trends. One is the strong retail sales reports from Home Depot and even Walmart. That is driving, I think, the news and the markets today. But on the other side of, you turn the coin around. On the other side of the coin, you see Peloton, a high-flying stock that was supposed to be, the tech and the future. And all of a sudden, they are going a different direction. So I just want to hear Manny's insight.
So... On the retail sales front, so you had some pretty good beats on the top line for both Home Depot and Walmart, but if you actually pay attention right now, Walmart has turned negative on the day. And the reason for that is due to what is expected in future cost increases. The inability to get product, the inability to stack shelves, and the inability to prevent cost pressures from being moved to the consumer. So, yes, they had a very good quarter, but what they're looking at is a tightening of earnings per share over the next coming quarters. Home Depot is in that same situation. Their number was slightly better, which is why that stock is still up this morning. But what we know to be true is that you have a 30-day wait period to get into the Port of Los Angeles. That is not something that's going away or will go away anytime soon. You have massive decreases in truckloads being shipped across the country due to shortages in truck drivers. It's projected that we will have an 80,000 decrease in truck drivers by year end after 3,000 trucking companies went out of business last year. And you're having the same problem with rail right now due to the inability to create and move chassis. So as much as we had good numbers, what's coming in the next coming quarters is very, very troublesome. And I think that analysts are starting to pick up on that, which is why Walmart is now trading down after a pretty good beat. On the Peloton front, they are raising money at the worst possible time. So when a company wants to raise cash and sell shares, they do it when it's most, prudent for them to do so. Peloton is doing it because they need $1 billion right now, and the market is realizing the weakness that they are currently facing. The product has massively declined in terms of usage, both here and globally. They're not hitting the numbers that they were expected to hit. They're trying to go into other sides of the fitness industry, and to be able to do so, they need to raise about $1 billion. So the market is not taking that well. It's taking it as poor management and a poor business model, and the stock price is reflecting that.
Yep, here it is. It was high flying, and it was the future of fitness. And all of a sudden, you take a wrong turn, and as you said, management is not doing his job.
Right, stock price will affect that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, what's coming right now? It's we're in a pretty troublesome period right now. What's happening with inflation is not going to subside. Anyone that was on the transitory camp, I'd be shocked to hear the reasons why they continue to believe it's transitory. You have Fed officials or former Fed officials like William Dudley, who came out yesterday and said the Fed is way behind the eight ball, that they will probably have to hike starting at a minimum of June of 2022, and that the market is unaware of how quick and how rapid the increase in yields will become. So here's a former Fed president that is banging the table saying that we're behind the curve. You have multiple economists, including Mohamed El-Erian, who's very well respected, saying the same story. And you had another Fed president yesterday say the same exact thing in Bill Dudley. So it's very concerning that we could have two different sides of the camp right now, but it's reflecting a monetary policy. And then if you just even take a look at the numbers that came out yesterday, you know, you had inflation break-even jumping. The five-year is up another 5.5 basis points to 3.25, up 13 basis points in just 2 days. The 10-year break-even is up 2 basis points, 2.77. That's 1 basis point from a record high. And what that's telling the market is that the Fed has lost its credibility in terms of controlling inflation right now. So it's going to be a dangerous game for growth stocks. I think that one of the most benefiting strategies out there is start allocating towards the Russell 2000 and small stocks, which outperform during inflationary periods and when inflationary expectations are jumping. So I really think right now is the most prudent time to be looking at your portfolio and saying, what can I expect to work? What do I need to start getting rid of that benefited over the last 10 years but probably won't do as well over the coming quarters? And on top of that, with inflation at 6%, you calculated in 1980s type numbers, we're really at 16%. So if you have a return of 10% in your portfolio, but your inflation rate is 6 and 6.5, well, your nominal rate of return is really 4%. So if you're a retiree or if you're a pension fund, how do you make those numbers work? So the hunt for yields continues. You're going probably closer to an 80-20 portfolio of stocks to bonds. Bonds aren't really going to help you in this environment. Treasuries are definitely not going to help you in this environment. You have Morgan Stanley, even the first bank that came out with a bearish report that kind of aligns with us, that's projecting an S&P 500 of 3,800 at some point. So I think that people are expecting some kind of pullback. I don't think we see a black swan event, but people need to understand that the indices are extremely elevated. You have PE ratios north of 32. We're higher than any period in time of whether it was the Nifty 50.com or Great Financial Crisis from a valuation standpoint. And inflation continues to be a massive problem, and it's going to be very hard to get it under control.
And Manny, to continue the train of thought, you look at, you know, all the asset classes, not just the stocks and bonds as you mentioned, but you look at the real estate and the other asset classes. If you put even the new asset classes of crypto and other things, even gold, but everything is so elevated.
Mm-hmm. Well, gold is just starting to play catch up. We've been up 4.5% for the last month, but it's been massive. It hasn't really performed as well as you would think in an inflationary environment. Bitcoin is still an unproven mechanism. So, yeah you could call it a hedge against inflation, but give me some proven statistics over, or compare it to gold, has inflation characteristics over thousands of years. It's very hard to really call it a hedge at this point in time, but we'll remain to see. It's under pressure today. I think it's around 60,000 a coin after hitting 69,000 last week. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, if you look at real estate and all other sectors, everything is up. So now you're trying to figure out a way. How can I create yield in other asset classes that I'm not going to get from probably equities and bonds? If you have a negative return in equities last year, you have a really high chance of both asset classes having negative returns next year, both stocks and bonds. So where does that leave you as an investor to go look? So you got to be looking in different places. Again, small cap stocks in the Russell 2000 will benefit in an inflationary environment. You're starting to see it right now. They've had a great month after massive underperformance of the last year. So I think that you got to look at other different things and private alternatives, and getting your dollars in different buckets that will perform well in this environment. Because again, the two largest asset classes have a really good chance of having negative returns next year.
Manny, can I just
always one question that everybody asks me at least is what about the dividend stocks? You know, I can get those companies that You look at healthcare, about 3% dividends. You look at the energy, maybe a little bit more. You look at some very leveraged companies in the telecom, like AT&T and Vodafone, 7-8%. Even IBM has a 5% dividend yield. What is the risk? Because people just see that number and say, I'm going to get 7%. What's the risk?
Well, there's no guarantee that they keep the dividend. Yep. That's your risk. I mean, at the end of the day, if you have a company with cost pressures increasing, you know, companies give a dividend when they have more cash on the sidelines than they know what to do with. At that point in time in the future, if you have cost pressures, they're going to have to align capital towards their core businesses to make sure. And, you know, it's already happening that they're passing on the cost pressures to consumers. And you're seeing consumer spending drop because of it. I mean, even the retail sales number today, which was good off the top line, when you throw in the inflation number, it's actually a negative 2% print. And when you're talking, when you're talking about the wage pressures with inflation, we actually have a negative wage increase this year, even though that money is getting thrown around and we are in the quit economy, the highest quit rate we've seen in this country is happening presently. So there's more money being thrown around, but at the end of the day, real wages are actually going down. So your risk from a dividend standpoint is, does the company cut the dividend? Now, I will say we're looking at IBM. We're allocating capital there. And AT&T has been in the portfolio, and they're sticking with their dividend. So, I mean, dividend companies will perform better in an inflationary environment, but your risk there is, does the company cut the dividend at some point?
Manny, can I interject? Because you mentioned it twice, and for those who are, you know, investors, they probably are familiar, but for those aren't, you mentioned the Russell 2000 Index 2000 a couple of times. Can you just, in a sense, explain, it's a small cap, explain what that is, and maybe if you know some of the companies that might be part of that.
So like Abercrombie & Fitch is one of the top leaders right now in the Russell 2000. You also have Shake Shack, Home Depot, Walmart. These companies are allocated there. Essentially, it's another index. It's similar. It's thinking the same way as thinking of the Dow, the NASDAQ,
right,
the S&P
right.
500. The Russell 2000 is just the 2,000 smallest publicly traded companies in the United States. So they're public companies, but why do smaller companies benefit in an environment like this? Because they have more control over their business and the ability to control expectations with customers.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the statistics, they have massively outperformed large cap companies over inflationary environments to the tune of 900 basis points.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it's substantial, and it's due to the market conditions in a sense, right?
And don't forget, I mean, it's an index that, you know, so for the last 10 years, you've had massive increases in the S&P 500.
Mm-hmm.
The Russell 2000 hasn't performed that well over the last 10 years. So you are kind of seeing a change of the tide here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what we said before and have mentioned in previous shows, we believe what worked in the last 10 years probably doesn't work for the next coming.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Stamati, closing comments?
Well, my closing comments is that you are in an all-time high, and be careful.
Yeah, I think that's wise.
Yeah, right now is the best time to take a look at what's under the hood and get an expectation of how it's going to perform over the next 1 to 2 years and start allocating capital to places that you don't currently have exposure to.
And I think it's the perfect time to I don't want to put a plug here for money. He does not need it. But it's the perfect time to talk to a professional because now it's all-time high. You may have a home. You may have an investment real estate portfolio. A lot of our listening audience, they love real estate. You may have money in your IRA, your 401k. You may have money in your stocks and cash. Now it's the perfect time when everything is high to say, okay, what's my goal? Like, okay, my kid is 16. What do I have to think for that? Or I am 62 and I want to, you know, to start taking money in 5 years. Or, you know, I really want to buy a house, but it's so expensive, I'm not sure. And I think that should be the point of departure. It shouldn't be, oh my God, let me make a dollar here. And what can I trade? And let me time the market. That if you try to do that, you will always lose. I think the point of departure should be, what do I want for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years? And then you talk with someone like Manny, and they tell you, here's your options.
Exactly.
That's what he does. That's what he does, and that's why, you know, we continue to have him on the program so he can just make, you know, the average citizen aware of what's going on, you know, in this world. You know, we can't all be experts. They're experts in their own field. But anyway,
no question about it.
All right, listen, we're going to wrap this.
Manoli's doing a great job.
Manny, great job, always explaining it for us. And before we let you go, of course, Patriots comments of the week.
Oh, unbelievable game. That defense played out of their minds. I think the league is finally waking up to the truth that is Mac Jones. This team is on the up and up, and as we continue to see across the AFC, and what happened with the NFL this past week is just mind-boggling. I turned on the TV last night and saw a 3-5 team beating an LA Rams team that I thought was going to probably be in the Super Bowl, pre-OBJ acquisition as well. So, I mean, what a wild week for the NFL, but the Patriots are certainly on the up and up and have a really good chance. With an upcoming game in Atlanta, Georgia, that is a very winnable game to really separate themselves, not only in the division, but across the entire American Football Conference. So it's a very good time to be a Patriots fan. I think we all thought that there'd be, you know, a 1 or 2 year lull period with a rookie quarterback, but this kid is playing lights out. This defense is playing better and better every week. I think that the coaching staff is going to do a great job of, bringing down the foolish penalties and you know running out of time or false starts or holding calls. I think this team is going to surprise a lot of people this year, and I think we're going to be playing in January. I don't know if we'll be playing in February, but nonetheless, it's a really good time to be a Patriots fan, and the future looks very, very bright.
Well, I like that optimistic Manny Frangidakis prediction right there. I'm going to end it right there.
Manny, it's not good in economics.
It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better than that for a Pats fan. It's not going to get any better than that. Manny Stamati, have yourselves a great week. Nasa Stikala. You are tuned to Grecian.